All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, can we just quickly open our Bibles again and let's begin our study for today. Let's start again from the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, Paul was talking about what God did for us in Christ Jesus. Also, can you just open your Bibles, by the way, to Deuteronomy chapter 2? So we can quickly make a reference to that. Moses said in verse 14, Deuteronomy chapter 2, before I go to Ephesians chapter 2. He said, now the time that it took for us to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the brook Zereb was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war perished from within the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. He said, moreover, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from within the camp until they all perished. Please bear that one in mind. And then let's go down to our book of Ephesians chapter 2. From verse 1 it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. He said, among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, that is subject to the wrath of God, even as the rest. He said, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, that is, we were under the power of spiritual death, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, he says, and he raised us, in verse 6, up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come we might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. He said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Please, my emphasis today is going to be in that verse 10. As we go on, I'll get there. It said, for we are his workmanship. Now, let me start. That will be from verse 8. My emphasis will be verses 8, 9, and 10. It said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, there is one more scripture I'd like to read before I begin to pass my comments. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. From verse 1, it says, therefore, let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Verse 2 says, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Now, please, let me just stop there. Now, I've read this number of scriptures to introduce the thing that we have been discussing, so we can go into more details about it today. I've been talking about the birth of a new generation. Now, please bear that in mind. What we have been talking about is what? The birth of a new generation. Now, I read that Deuteronomy chapter 2 to bring something to our minds again. There's a spiritual principle, and this is how God does it. The Bible says that he takes away the first to establish the second. There was a statement I made last week which I would like to emphasize again. I said, before God brings forth a new thing, the first thing he does is to bring forth a new people. Please, let me say that again. Before God brings forth a new thing, the first thing he does is to do what? Bring forth a new people. It's the people that decide what will be done. Now, listen to this. I need to say it clearly. Now, I've said this several times, but I think I can't say it enough, because people must get the point clearly. What people experience on the earth, or what the earth experiences, is dependent upon the people that are on the earth. The earth responds to the presence of the people that are upon it. You know, one of my friends called me a few days ago. He said, sir, what do you think about what is going on in China right now? For those of you who know, the earthquake in China, they're told by now I should have crossed 70,000. or something. And then just about 2 days ago, they still had an aftershock that was the magnitude of a good earthquake somewhere else. All right, it's a 5.3 or something, the magnitude of the aftershock. Now, those things are still going on in China, and they are really suffered. You see, they talked about, if I never heard about quake leaks until this Chinese one, that is, a river is flowing, and then there's an earthquake. The landslide that the earthquake produces blocks the path of the river so much that the water now starts swelling. All right, it's forming a lake. The problem is that after a while, it will have to bust through the obstruction, and that means that all the towns and villages lower down are going to be flooded and wiped away. Now, so you see all the things the Chinese people have been trying to do to clear the way. So that's what he was saying, that what do I think about what is going on right now in China? And I understood what he was saying. That is, what do you think is the cause of it? The same person who sent me a mail when the tsunami hit and wiped quite a huge chunk of people. Over 200,000 people were killed in the Banda Aceh area of, that was Indonesia, right? Yeah, some years ago. And he sent me a mail when that happened. He said, I remember a statement you made many years ago. You know, I couldn't even remember the statement. And that's the fact that he said that, I said, these people are playing with certain things, that the day God is going to judge them, they will be shocked. I didn't even remember that I said that. So now ask me, okay, what do you think about what's going on in China? And I didn't have much to say. I said, I don't really know so much about China. Then he now began to give me his analysis. And I want to say that so that you will understand the things we are saying are real. He said, if you see, there was something my wife said, which is very important. You know, there's one of the villages in China that a lot of children died because the newest building in the village or the town collapsed. It was a school building, 3 stories. It collapsed and killed most of the people that were inside there, teachers and children. And my wife made a statement that, the people, they found out that, as a matter of fact, the buildings were built with substandard materials. They were built to a substandard level, and buildings are always collapsing in Nigeria. Now, if you watched the news a few days ago, they showed that Standards Organization of Nigeria, they've woken up to their responsibility. They impounded several trucks containing iron rods, and the iron rods were smaller than is appropriate for that particular gauge. Do you understand what I'm saying? They will level it 10 mm, meanwhile it will be 9 mm or 8 mm, you know, the way Chinese people do it. So my wife said that, so this thing that they do to the rest of the world, they do it to themselves too. That is, a building collapsed, somebody said, not because of earthquake, but because of bad materials. A building can collapse and it doesn't crumble. That way, a lot of people will be trapped, but you eventually rescue a lot of them. But this one collapsed and crumbled, so it killed most people. So my wife said, all right, so these things they've been doing to us, they do it to themselves also. That is, okay, so they are feeling the effects of using substandard products. You're all right, because they do it. I mean, you know what I mean. They do it. You go, you want to buy cable, please don't buy any imported cable in Nigeria of today. You buy Nigerian cable, all right? Because if you use the one that's substandard, your building will catch fire one day because you put the load that's supposed to be carried by maybe 2 mm cable. You don't know that the one they sold to is actually 0.8 mm, if you know what I'm saying. And that's it. The thing gets overheated and then it starts burning. So the young man said, what do I think? So he began to analyze what he felt. Now, among the things he pointed out to me is that virtually every nation on the earth, that where do you find, if you go to Sudan, you talk about Darfur crisis and all of that, where do they get their arms from to fight the southern Sudan from China? Who sold the warship and military equipment to Zimbabwe under crisis period? China. Everywhere that everybody is saying what people are doing is not good, China will sell them arms. You know, a friend of mine who went to China to do business said they have a principle. It has said their government sponsors that principle. No matter what you have to do, the money must come in. That is, you go to China, another of my friends said it. If you go there and say, okay, this handkerchief, how much do you make it for me? I want to buy it because they mass produce things. They tell you that maybe 1,000 dozens, tell you maybe it's $200. And you say, that is too expensive. Can't I pay 100? They will never argue with you. That you want to pay 100, go ahead, pay 100. So you feel you are getting a good bargain. So let me continue haggling some more. So what if I pay 50? The man will say, 50, I take. No problem. They speak like broken English also. What he doesn't tell you is that the more you price, the lower the amount of cotton inside and the higher the amount of polyester. He won't explain it to you. You want handkerchief for $10 instead of 100, he will get it. If he has to use tissue paper and nylon to make it for you, he will. But that money, he will drop it. Do you get what I'm saying? Now let's get this clear. What the earth experiences, all right, is a product of the state of our hearts. I've said this several times, that what the earth actually is a stage for us to demonstrate what is inside our hearts. That's why I love this movie so much, Matrix. You see, there's a way I saw it. I said, no, what these people are doing, they are showing really, because in Matrix, people are playing with their minds, and then it becomes like real world to them. But actually, that's what is going on amongst us also. What is inside our hearts is what is being played out, all right, on this earth. It's not really the it's not the things we determine consciously that come to be, but those things that are deep-seated inside us, they affect the things that are around. I said it before that the earth responds. The earth has ears. It can feel. God said that if you pollute it, the earth will vomit up its inhabitants. Because of my training, I understand that vomiting is a reflex to preserve the organism. Do you understand what I mean? If you eat what is not good, your stomach feels it and it turns over and vomits. That is, don't spoil us. We'd rather throw you out. And that's what God says. If your morality is not good enough for the preservation of the earth will kill the people that are upon it. That's just the way it works. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That you see, let me tell you something. The fact that something has a physical explanation does not mean it is not spiritual in origin. Do you get the point I'm making? The fact that it has a physical explanation does not mean it is not spiritual in origin. I've told many stories to explain this. I said several times that one of the things I thank God for about my life, and I'm sure that's why he plotted it like that, is so that because of my training, I'm a medical doctor, I'm a specialist. So when I speak, all right, on some issues, people can't say I'm talking out of ignorance. All right, if you want to describe diseases, I know how they come about. I can tell you the story of viruses, of bacteria, of all kinds of things. But I also know, do you get my point? That the movement of physical things is dictated by the spiritual realm. If God wants to punish a Gehazi, he sends him leprosy. Do you follow? Now, the doctor can scrape and find the organism causing leprosy. But God will not say, this is the reason why Gehazi had leprosy. He went into a leprosarium. No, he will say, because of the lie, he lied to Elisha and lied to collect goods, material things, all right, from Naaman. They said that is why leprosy has come to his house. Over time, you will discover that it appears like the descendants are predisposed to development of leprosy. And we will have medical explanations for it. We will map out the gene in their system that has made them susceptible to leprosy. What we will not ask is that who said, who dictated that gene should be a determining gene for leprosy? We don't ask such questions because we don't have an explanation. If I'm not ready to receive the things of the Spirit, as a matter of fact, it is because of the word of the Lord from the mouth of Elisha that said, all right, any gene that Gehazi and his descendants will have, they will be genes of leprosy. No matter how you want to study it, it will be a gene of what? Of leprosy. I'm explaining the principle. So we found out that physical things respond to the spiritual. That's what we are saying. And when people are bringing forth evil out of their hearts, the earth upon which they step will experience evil. And if God is going to turn a nation around and turn things around for the better, the first thing he does is to bring a new set of people onto the scene. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what he does. He brings forth a new set of people. We read from Deuteronomy chapter 2, which is where we began our study from, that the story came there, of course. We know the story there is about the people that doubted God in Kadesh Barnea, and their hearts were unable to take the promised land. I'm not going to go over that again. We discussed that in the previous weeks. If you're not around, you can get the CDs. But what we pointed out there is this. To take the promised land, you needed a kind of heart, and the heart they had couldn't take the promised land. And since they had left Egypt, God said, all right, we will destroy them in the wilderness. The reason being that they couldn't enter into the promised land. Let me say it again. God was actually doing them a favor. If they had entered into the promised land anyway, the giants would have killed them because they couldn't take the promised land. It was just not inside them. Now, Paul was now explaining in our studies, Ephesians chapter 2. That was where we were last week. He said, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He said, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit which is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now, let me explain that again. We explained that the world has a spirit. Now, let me settle down and slow down now. That the world has a spirit that directs them in a particular direction. I established last week that we can say categorically that there is a spirit of corruption that is present in Nigeria. You don't have to try to be a corrupt person. You just need to live in Nigeria and there's corruption. many years ago, the British Embassy in Lagos, they evacuated all their staff and sent them back home. And I laughed because they had been within the geographical terrain of Nigeria for a long time. And the spirit of corruption had entered into their staff. They discovered that you could buy a British visa. There was already a cartel. You wanted a British visa. You didn't need to qualify. You needed to have money. Between the Nigerians and the Britons in there, they had rearranged the whole thing that, oh boy, it's a matter of money. You want to go to UK? No, how much are you paying? They give you your bill. You pay and you are guaranteed. You're going for a normal interview. That's the interesting part. You go for a normal interview. They interview you normally, but you couldn't fail. The deal was done. When the people found out, there was no quarrel, no investigation, nothing. They just evacuated all their staff and replaced with new ones that the spirit had not yet entered. No, really, that thing is true. You know, I've heard people talk about, you know, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he talked about the sexual immorality that was amongst them. And he explained, no, okay, now, people who have talked about it said that that's the issue, that in Corinth, it was a city that was full of such activities. So the church in there not being careful. That's why you must understand what when he said, don't give room to the devil. All right? Because if you do, there is a kind of spirit that is in a particular area and they will try and flow even into the church if the church will open the door for it. Do you get what I'm saying? All right? Now, so that's what happened. The people, they had become as corrupt as Nigerians were. And I said this to us that last time, that is a spirit. It's not a matter of trying. You know, we must learn as believers to look beyond the physical realm. And we must learn to interpret everything in light of spiritual things. Because if you have good understanding of spiritual matter, you will find it easier to handle life. Today I was listening to Ravi Zacharias. He's an Indian, but I don't know which country he lives in. I think UK, US or UK, one of them. He's a philosopher, what they call a Christian. He's an apologist. He's a Christian apologist. He speaks a lot on intellectual matters and all of that. Now, he was talking, he narrated a story in which somebody was explaining that it appears like everybody has a price. All right, I will tell you the story to make you laugh. All right, and this is how the person explained it. He said a man was on a plane. I don't know whether this really happened or not, but listen to this. He said a man was on a plane, and sitting beside him was a very attractive woman. So after a while, he decided to talk to the woman and propositioned the woman for the sum of $1 million if the woman would agree to stay a night with him. And the woman looked initially and she was shocked, like, what? After a while, she turned to the guy and said, are you serious about that $1 million? The guy said, yes, exactly, I am. All right, so they agreed, fixed the date, fixed the place, fixed everything. And she was going to come and spend the night with him for $1 million. Along the line, the man now turned and said, well, you know, actually, I don't have $1 million. I was wondering whether you'd do the same thing for $10. And the woman shouted, what do you take me for? He said, I thought we have already settled that. We know what you are. It's the amount now we are haggling. So, now the man was explaining that. That story was supposed to just bring out an issue. That it appears that, okay, everybody, all right, has a price. Now, let me talk about that story as an example. Like, you know, I brought that one of trying to explain that Christians should learn to look from a spiritual angle. If you look at things from a spiritual angle, you will get the point I'm trying to make today. You'll be able to relate better with life and tackle issues. Now, so as I was driving, I went to Newe this morning. So I was on the way, I was listening to that message again. So I began to meditate that, okay, $1 million. This young woman or this woman said, $1 million, after all, what's the big deal? Nobody will know. You know, you just rationalize around. I said, but somebody of spiritual understanding, I began to think like that. I said, $1 million is too small. $1 billion is too small. I said, what is the real value? Let us explain. If you understand the real value, you will tackle it differently. I said, the real value is not just about you. I was thinking about myself as a man. I said, what is the real value? It's about introducing mental instability into my home. I said, it's about the life of my children. Listen, it's not about money. Do you get what I'm saying? We are looking at it as if it's a matter of money and morality. No, it's about the life of my children. It's about the ability to do well in school tomorrow. Do you get my point? Now put it together and offer me $100 billion. You think I'll take it from you? I can't. I will look at my kids. I say, I want these people to struggle through life.
I will look at my daughter. I want her to become a harlot when she's a teenager. I said, no, you can't give me enough money to buy that. You can't. But when we don't have spiritual understanding, we think it's about money. We think it's all about money. No, I understand these things. It's not about money. I will just look at my children. I said, you don't get the point. It's a spirit you are releasing into your household. My wife told me something some time ago. I cannot give you the details now. But then, when she finished explaining, tell me something. I just said, it was something somebody told her actually. I just said, this is a matter of the occult. She pulled back. I said, let me tell you what is going on. If they are able to persuade this person to do this, it's not about what is right and what is wrong. I said, there is a spirit that has been trying to attack this fellow. And that spirit has not found a door. Therefore, to create a door, they now came to tempt her with iniquity. Do you get my point? You can look at it as a matter of sin. No, it's not about sin. It's about death and life. It's not about, will people know, people will not know. How will it be? Is it morally good? Or no. Oh, maybe I didn't tell you. I told Martin, one of my colleagues, a man of spiritual understanding also. I just narrated the stuff to him. Before I finished, he said, that's a cult. I had not finished. He said, Nubanki, that's a cult. He said, there's a spirit after that person. I said, oh, you were there when I was discussing with my wife about it. I said, you just got it. He said, now today we read this life. We understand that these are spiritual matters. People don't understand it. Let me say this to you again. No, listen. You go out in life, we said that there are 1,000 temptations in this life. But let's stop looking at temptation as a matter of what do I get, what I don't get. Will God be happy and God will not be happy? Let us remember what temptation is really about. It's about leakage of spiritual energy. Listen, Satan can offer you 100 million naira. Join our group, do this, do that. And look, in a short while, you two will be driving a Hummer. And you look at it, as a 31-year-old person, I'll drive this, I'll have this. You put everything together, 300 million naira, and you are in order. Hi. If you have spiritual understanding, you will know it's not about money. It's not about houses. It's not about cars. It's that Satan looked and said, if this boy manifests, the 300 million naira we are talking about, it will not be his level. It will be in his company, those who are two levels below him. That's what they will be discussing. If this guy manifests, this is a blessing he will bring to this region of this country. If this guy manifests, this is the number of people he will be able to send through school. If this guy manifests, our foray into campuses to cause iniquity, this is how he will end it. If this guy manifests, he said, boys, tempt him. Whatever he will take, give him a billionaire if that's what he's asking for. And the guy with a background of poverty alone, with no understanding in his brain, he said, this is my opportunity. I can build a house for my father. This is my opportunity. Now I can help my cousins and brothers and sisters. This is my opportunity. He doesn't understand that. Listen, Satan is not stupid. If it was you, I wanted to sell you this handkerchief. Do you get my point? And I said, bring 5,000 for it. Will you buy? You look at it. What is it? It's nonsense. This one is even used. A brand new one downstairs is 150. You wouldn't buy. So if you will give somebody that amount of money for something, you know that thing is more valuable than what he's paying for. What he's paying for it. When we talk about a man's soul, the way most of us look at it, we think is the soul is just about Satan wants to populate hell. What will he do if hell is plenty? What will he gain? No, ask yourself. What will he gain if hell is full? No, it's not about the hell or heaven. It's about now. It's about proving the wisdom of God as wrong. Do you get my point? It's about crippling God's ability because God's ability is loaded, listen, inside people. God doesn't manifest without going through people. That is it. When God wants to bless people, he sends a man. And Satan says, watch it, let me corrupt the man so that God can no longer bless them. Are you getting the point I'm making? I mean, Satan knows what he's doing, so he comes tempting people. It is not just about money or this or that. Now, I said all of this, that we now, if we understand spiritual things, we're able to tackle life differently. So in that same message, Rabbi Zacharias was preaching. We're talking about, is it true everybody has a price? I said, it depends on what they call, if they understand what really a price is. Can everybody be deceived? Yes. Are you getting my point? But if you were to open their eyes, the temptation of Jesus Christ, if let us assume you just want a normal human being went through that temptation, but then before you went through the temptation, you said, look, oh, you are Jesus Christ. Say yes, all right. Before that, let us first play. How many of you have seen this movie, The Devil's Advocate? Please, if you can, look at it with spiritual eyes. Let me tell you a bit of the story. It's the day I saw the movie on TV once, many years ago. After that, I went to go and look for the CD. Because there was a spiritual lesson in it. A guy was being tempted. It's a story about a temptation. Satan, they said the devil's advocate. There was a devil there that was tempting people. So, the guy was being tempted. He was being tempted. What was it? He was a small town lawyer. Do you understand? Maybe he's a lawyer somewhere in... Don't let me even say Enugu. Let me just say... Okay, let's say, okay, he's a lawyer somewhere in Udi. Yeah, that's better. And he was doing well, managing one small car. His wife was doing small business, and they were just managing. And then one day, he had a challenge. He had never lost a case. And one day, he was going to lose a case. It was a matter of pride of life. He was going to lose a case. And the reporter was there making it like, what is the first time you are going to lose? Now, he could win. He had the ability to win. But he had to kill his conscience to do that. So, his conscience was seriously troubled. He could just allow the case flow and he will lose. Or put on his best. Tell all the lies. Do everything he has to do and win. Do you understand? Now, he didn't know it was a vision. This what turned out, if you have seen the movie for the first time, you won't know it's a vision actually. So, along the line, when that man was taunting him, the reporter, that, it looks like there's always a first time. This is your first time you're going to lose today. Suddenly he rose up like, me, lose. You know, cocked his brain and said, all right. Went back into the courtroom, delivered the most serious defense he could, and he won the case. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew he was lying. He knew everything he was doing was upside down. But he made his choice that, this man wants to taunt me. No. But, you see, from there, he moved on from Udi. Some people came, met him and said, all right, we hear you, how good you are. We have a job for you in Lagos. All right, that was New York for them. So let's ask him something like Lagos. He got to Lagos. Ha! They put him in the best hotel, welcomed, treated him very well, showed him their package. So you are going to end. We took him to their company quarters somewhere in VI, showed him his own apartment. The guy was excited. Cut a long story short. Along the line, there was plenty of money flowing. He had to keep breaking the rules of his conscience. And then finally, along the line, distance was coming between him and his wife. His wife became mentally deranged. And eventually, while he was watching, the woman slit her own throat and died. And then he woke up. That's when it was actually a vision he was having. He was actually still in that bathroom trying to wash his face where that guy was taunting him. It was while he was bent over the sink that whole vision played in his mind. When he went back into the courtroom, if you saw the CD movie, he looked at his wife, looked at her, and was touching her face like, oh, you are still there. Oh, my God. You are still there. Now, this is the point. Now, you know the way they make these movies? They make it look like you can't defeat the devil because the devil played another trick on him, and it appeared like he might or might not lose that one. We don't know. But the thing is that there, he now made his decision, Abego, I'm pulling out of this case. I don't want to holler. Now, he was going to lose a lot of things for pulling out. But you know what he was seeing was different. He wasn't seeing the temporal loss. He knew what he suffered. All right? Going the other way. Because he had seen it in a vision. He knew what he would have to go through. And the guy had no choice but to turn the other way. Do you get the point I'm making? That's just the way life is. So the Jesus that's going to be tempted, if you show him what is going to come, oh boy, you don't go for that temptation. No. You understand? It's not just about I bow, I don't bow. It's about the redemption of mankind. is about what the devil will do to the whole of the human race if he were to win me over. Are you getting my point? Please, try and follow me what I'm saying. We need to establish this. You know, as I'm trying to explain to us again, that what the earth experiences is a product of the lives of the people that are upon it. And that if God wants to introduce something new, he first has to introduce new people. Do you get what I'm saying? And I'm saying that the temptation that Satan gives to people is not just about what that temptation is. It's about a bigger picture. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's not about killing a goat and joining a cult and getting money or not getting money. It's about buying something heavier than that fellow could ever have imagined. Let me say this in plain terms. Take our country, Nigeria, as an example. Later on, I'll read the scripture because the Bible says that those that are with him, they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Now, let me just quickly read that. This I will understand. Revelation chapter 17. Now, I read this to explain a principle. Now, here I was describing how Satan wages war and the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ, will wage his own war. Now, I won't read everything, but I just want to explain a principle. Let's read from verse 12. It said, "And then ten horns, and the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received the kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast." Verse 14, "These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful." My emphasis is that verse 14, which states that there is a war going on between the beast and the Lamb. And that the ten kings have one purpose, in verse 13, that they give their power and authority to the beast. What that means, actually, is that they exercise their power and authority for the purpose of the beast. Do you understand my point? Now, if you read in between the lines, you'll see that's exactly what he's saying in verse 14. He said, "These will wage war." Notice it is these, not the beast, but these kings will wage war on behalf of the beast this time around against the Lamb. He said, "But the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings." Now, notice this. Those who are with the beasts are the ten kings. I hope you are getting the point. Those who are with the beasts are what? The ten kings. But those who are with the Lamb, they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And just like those people with the beast exercise their power and authority for the beast's purpose, what these people are also doing is that they are exercising their spiritual energy to serve the purpose of the Lamb, and that is why the Lamb will overcome. People don't get the point. They think that the Lamb will overcome because he's Lord, Lord of lords and King of kings. That is the emphasis on the Lord and King. But actually, the emphasis on the lords and kings. That is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The lords and kings who are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. That is, if Jesus is going to overcome the Lamb, it is because he has people working with him who he called the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Let me explain something. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives even unto death. I'm bringing out the principle here. That is because this is what it is with believers. It is through them that God is going to change things and turn things around. And listen to me, Jesus is not coming back tomorrow. I am sure of that. And in case I'm wrong, you won't be able to do anything. If you find out that I'm wrong, you won't be able to accuse me anyway. We'll be over there and we'll be discussing in the past. What he said yesterday was incorrect. What does it matter? We're all here now. All right. But there's a reason why I'm saying that. There is a reason. He says, "Sit at my right hand." He said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for thy feet." This is the point I'm making. That is, until Jesus, his called, chosen, and faithful people literally overcome the beast, Jesus is not going to come back. He's not coming back to pull out a retreating army. He's coming back to receive a triumphant one. Do you follow the point I'm making? I'm explaining something here. So you take a country like ours, Nigeria, say, oh, corruption is everywhere. Police is bad. This one is bad. Customs like this. Nepal is not working. NNPC, you tell all the stories. You know what God is saying? I have not been able to do anything despite the fact that you have prayed, because I have not yet found enough of the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And listen to me, saints of God. When you are facing temptation in life, understand, it is not about that job. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, it is not about the job. It is about bigger things. Take our biblical example, Joseph. Temptation, Mrs. Potiphar said, lie with me. According to, I heard somebody refer to Josephus, that Josephus said that Joseph was so handsome that Mrs. Potiphar will gather her friends and they will be staring at the guy walking up and down. Look, you know, these things are spiritual. Mrs. Potiphar, you know, have you heard this gist around? Say, someone is an agent. Yeah, this guy is an agent. Mrs. Potiphar was an agent. Most agents don't know they are agents. I don't know whether you get my point. Listen, the person who says, I'm a witch, don't be afraid of that one. That is the one that can't do you anything. The one that really can do you something is the agent that is a friend and goes to church and speaks in other tongues. The one that says, I'm a witch, I will show you. Hey, you see the person dancing and sacrificing at your gate, just feel sorry for that one. There's nothing that one can do. If you sacrifice goats there, just wait for the sacrifice to end. Collect the goat, skin it, cut it, put it in your freezer. You don't have to eat it in one day. It won't spoil. Don't worry, it's not my goat. There's no spirit in it. Believe me, there's no spirit in the goat. If you sacrifice fowl, just wait, may it finish. Collect the fowl, cook it well, and eat it. Then, look, there is nothing inside. Those ones are the safe witches. The real agent is a friend. Who was the Satan in Jesus' life? Peter, thank you very much. It was Peter. That was the person that said, sir, you must never fulfill the purpose of God for your life. No, those are his words. You know, I modified it a bit. Jesus said, this was what happened. I will be beaten, I will be arrested, then I will be killed, and then for the salvation of mankind, that's what he was saying in effect. And Peter said, impossible. Nothing like that must happen to you. Oga, we must resist it. We must resist it. And he looked and said, hey, get behind me, Satan. The real Satan is a friend. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, there's something I'm going to say here. So you see, it is not about that job. It's not about that day. It's about something that is bigger. So for Joseph, Mrs. Potiphar was an agent. Even she did not know. Do you get my point? Her brother, his brothers were not the problem. Is this woman that really likes him? That one is the problem. And you see, Joseph was, and that's something, if you read that book, which I'm sure only those who don't like me haven't read it, if they have been hearing me saying this again and again, that's great faith can be yours. In that book, I explained a number of principles. For example, I explained that Naomi, what's her name? Ruth. Ruth was blessed for her faith. But actually, Ruth did not care about the God of Naomi. She cared about the Naomi of the God. Do you understand what I'm going to say? If Naomi was going home to bow to an idol, Ruth will have followed her. And that is why love is the greatest of them all. Because somebody walking in true love, God will lead the person in the right direction. The concern that Naomi had, and Ruth had, was for Naomi and her welfare. And she was willing to sacrifice her own life for Naomi. God said, this one has not loved her life, even unto death. Therefore, he led her in the path of righteousness for his own namesake. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm talking about Joseph. Joseph didn't know what we now know about him. Of course, it hadn't happened. Nobody had recorded about him, about the things happening. And he said he had a dream. Listen. He said, keep your dream before you. Joseph did not know the meaning of the dream. He wasn't keeping any dream before him. Do you follow what I'm saying? Joseph dreamt a dream, and the dream died the day they threw him into the pit. He forgot the dream. Don't think he remembered. He didn't. But there was a power of righteousness that was with him. He realized that Mr. Potiphar, or Chief Potiphar, General Potiphar, whatever it was, trusted him so much, and his father had taught him about what is right and what is not right. He put those things, two things together and said, I cannot do this and sin against God. But this is what I'm coming to. The temptation, I said, Miss Potiphar was an agent. Is that okay? The temptation was not about sleep with me or don't. It's not about becoming more powerful in the house of Potiphar. She probably thought like that. He thought like that. But the truth was that the temptation was about preserving the whole of Egypt. But more importantly, the promise of God that was supposed to come to pass through the lineage of his father. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen. God allowed him enough understanding to withstand this temptation because of what he had taught him about faithfulness and thou shalt not commit adultery. All right? He understood enough about that. But I'm bringing out an issue. This is the main thing. The real temptation was not about that one. It was about the preservation of the nation of Israel. Do you get my point? Now, let me come back home now. So you see that you start out in business. Listen, the issue about getting involved in bribery and corruption, kickback, forward, they're not, all those things, is not about whether you have money now to buy a car, pay a fee, do this for your father, do this for your uncle who was so nice to you. That's not the temptation. The temptation is that if power will stop failing, we need you. And Satan says, why should power not fail? Let us make this Joseph rich. Give him 10 billion naira. He will stop worrying about power failing. And listen to me. I've explained this one before. There is no manifestation of blessing or curses that does not involve the proper arrangement of divine matter, spiritual matter. That is, there are people around in Nigeria that will have made sure their power does not fail as at now. But Satan has bought them. Bought them long ago. They are there. They are driving home up and down. They are there in town. They live in the biggest houses. They are all around. You may not know. But Satan said, this one, guys, do you know why your power is failing? This guy was appointed by God to ensure it doesn't fail. I gave him one Land Cruiser, two houses in the Venice layout, one in Abuja, two in Victoria Island, and he forgot the idea. Do you get what I'm trying to say? No, that's the way it happens all the time. You know, I've been explaining the principle. So that before God can bring forth something new, the first thing he does is to bring forth what? A new generation. Now, talking about that spirit of corruption as an example, using this hypothetical man that will have solved the problem of NEPA, all right? Let's use him as our example. Ephesians chapter 2. We read that he said, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So there is a spirit that is working, and that man bought into it. It's called the spirit of corruption. It's called the spirit of vainglory. And God says, if I want to bless people, that's what I'm saying again and again, there must be a new generation. And let me say another thing. God does not take away the old generation until there's a new one to replace them with. He doesn't. You know what he told them? He said the land will become fallow and will become overgrown with bush and with wild animals. Therefore, I will not take them out from before you in one day. He said, but as you increase, I will drive them out. Are you getting my point? God does not remove the first until he is ready to establish the second. And why do I preach? Why do people like me shout? He says, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. I'm explaining something. You see, one of the things that for me has been most important that I have been preaching is for believers to realize it's not about them. Do you get what I said? That is, if you come on and say, "Pastor, I have a testimony," praise God, though. You know, last week, they said we should sow a special seed of 1,000 naira, and today, I got 100,000 naira. I will thank you very much, and I will forget your testimony as soon as you finish sharing it. Look, it's not a testimony. That one is smarting. Say, tell your neighbor, na smarting. Really, na real smarting. Pastor, you know, I just thank God right now. You know, after I operated all those principles, amen, right now I drive a Jeep. I will thank God for your life. And in my mind, I'll say, na smarting. He said, all other things shall be added unto you. Oh, but he said, as I was giving that offering, I was picturing in my heart my Jeep. And I just knew that one day is going to come. Believe me sincerely, you have been deceived. It is the wrongest way for a Christian to give. It is the foolishest motive for a believer. Look, I don't care what the testimony you have heard. In fact, the testimonies are confirmations that it's foolishness. After all, the testimony is hardly more than what I got. After I gave this, believe me, then I got this. Look at it now. Am I not getting richer? I know you have missed the point. What believers are supposed to know, all right, is that he said he multiplies your seed for sowing. Did you hear that? This testimony I enjoy, sir. You know, last year, I was only able to give 1,000 naira. But this year, sir, I have been able to give 10,000. Then that's a testimony. Take a microphone and share it. That's where I sit. Say, sir, you know, last year, I had problems even for me to pay my fees. People had to help me. But do you know that this year, sir, I have helped 6 people? That is a testimony. Do you follow my point? He said, last year, I remember one brother told me, he said, can you remember the first time I gave you an offering? That's for this work of the ministry. I said, I really can't remember. He said, what happened was that I brought tracts and I shared tracts out to them. He was a poor student. And what came to his mind is that this thing must have cost money. And from the things I hear this guy saying, apparently he's paying by himself. So he took 1,000 naira, which was a lot of money for him, and he gave 1,000 naira. Now, are you getting my point? Now, why was he saying that one day we're discussing? Because by that time, when he wants to give money offering to ministry, it's 1,000,000 naira. Do you get the point I'm making? He said, remember the first time it was 1,000. That is, God has multiplied my seed for what? For sowing. Praise God. And I have a job. No, it's very good. But like I always say, that's more thing. God can give you a job anytime. Anytime. That one is more thing. Real testimony is, one, maybe I now have a job. That's good. But that before I began to work here, my boss couldn't do this, and that. But since I moved in, this is what we have been able to do. That's a testimony. Do you get what I'm saying? That before I was looking for a job, may not be much, but sir, do you know right now I have 3 employees? That's a testimony. Do you get the point I'm making? Those are testimonies. And I thank God that he's been helping me to let people understand, because I've discovered something. Once God can take your eyes off you, you are an instant success. I said something last Saturday here. I also preached in church on Wednesday. I said, forget, there's no believer that is held down by any ancestral curse or anything. There's none. The thing that holds them down is their unregenerated mind. That they are still walking according to the order of the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit that is now walking in the sons of disobedience. That's what holds them back. It's not any ancestral nonsense. Nothing. That is it. When they wake up in the morning, when their focus is still what I can... Look, listen, do you know the reason why Nigeria has been punished till now? And one thing I noticed, when you see a good land occupied by wicked people, there is a people of promise coming after. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. This is a blessed nation. Extremely blessed. You know, I sat down the other day and I was watching the flood. I think in either in the Netherlands or in Germany. My wife will look and say, is that a car? I say, yes. A tornado carried a car, flung it into the air, and dropped on somebody's roof. I said, this is what they really call calamity. What have we seen? Nothing. The earth here, not even the tremor itself. How much more quick? Volcanoes refuse to erupt. All of them are quiet. On top of that, like they say in NT, scratch ground small, you could just begin drill oil like this. Anytime you're driving, when I'm going to work, I look at the hills that have been cut, that's making the road, this Podakot road. And you see that literally Enugu sits on coal. Literally. The foundation of this town is what? Coal. It's a blessed land. But why have they not manifested any blessing? It's called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of greed, selfishness, that works in the sons of disobedience. That's the problem. My message today, please, is that, you know, I said that I'm happy that God has helped me over time to teach believers that it's not about you. I said something to you the other day. I said, if God, with all the faith I have in God, that he will bless me and all of that, and with all the faith I have in God, expecting blessing from his hand, if God called me one day and said, Pastor Banky, come. I say, yes, sir, at your service, nationwide. You know what? The biggest car I'll ever give you to drive is a 1977 model Beetle. And he said, your house, you know, go past, big past this two-bedroom flat. And he says everything. He said, but when I'm through with doing some of these things, as for your first son, birthday present that he will be giving people, it will be small, small private jets. Now listen, that this is your son, this one, he single-handedly will employ 100,000 people and pay them juicy salaries. That only him will transform maybe transportation in Nigeria, land, rail, that's rail, air, ship, everything. Sir, that's just one. This second one, the inventions I will bring from his head, Nigerians will be paying 1,000 naira a month for power, and it will never fail. He said, the inventions I will bring from his head, listen, no. That they will complete a beautiful duplex and they won't have spent more than 1.5 million in this country. And it continues like that, saying what he would do to my children. Those are natural. What about those who listen to you preach? And he said, all I'm asking for you is just make sure you don't desire more than a beetle in your life. I said, okay, in fact, that beetle, take it. I'm sure, I'll say, God, in fact, that beetle, take it. When I want to go somewhere, I go ask for a lift. Don't worry. In the house, do we really need the house? Just because of these children safe. Otherwise, we don't need the house. We can just make a hut somewhere. We'll go to one village nearby, and one hut, and stay there. Because after all, what we want to do is to affect this generation like this. And you are saying, if I go through this, what will happen? God, then I'm ready to take anything. No, believe me, anything. Hunger, add it. I don't mind. And that's what the Bible calls for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross and despised the shame. The problem we have, which makes us part of the old generation, despite the fact that we are believers, is because we actually take thoughts for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Therefore, you know, there's something I said that last time, as I described the meaning of the word spirit. That spirit tries to enter into people so as to control them. This man, Derek Prince, he preached a message I listened to many, many years ago. I listened to that message in 1991, 92. I remember. It was a series on deliverance and demonology. I'm not saying everything he preached in that series, I understand or fully agree. But there was one particular one. There was a 6-tape series or 8-tape series. One of them was titled Satan's Traps. What did I call it? Satan's Traps. And what he was saying is, now I want to apply what he said. It's also scriptural, all right? But I want to apply it in a particular way, okay? Now, please, just follow me. Now, what he was explaining actually is that Satan uses little things that people do, all right, to enter into their lives. Like, in that particular message, he was specifically talking about occultic practices, like reading the palms, you know, palm reading, reading horoscopes and stuff like that. That those are the ways by which Satan enters into the lives of people. And I know to be true, palm reading, you know, stuff like that, you know. By any way, first place you go is, what's your star? People ask me sometimes, what's your star? Very few people have been silly enough to ask me that kind of question in recent years. But I've had people ask me before, those days, say, what's your star? I said, his name is Jesus Christ. Have any other question? No, you know what I mean. I don't know what you mean. What you mean, there is a bright morning star whose name is Jesus Christ. He's called the Son of Righteousness, who arises with healings in his wings, and he arises upon me. That's my star. What's your problem? You have any other problem? If I want to start at the moment and say, okay, when were you born? None of your business. I was born the day the Lord decided. Leave me alone. Because, I don't have any star. I don't. What I have, all right, is that I'm a child of God, all right? My purpose in life was predetermined. God has ordained me to achieve some things in his life, in this life, and that I will most certainly achieve. I don't have any star beyond that. Believe me. So the prince was explaining that people open room to the devil doing things like that. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about actually, and which I explained in that book, Choices, Key to Destiny, is that you see that there are little things that we indulge in life, all right, that opens doors for bigger devils. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Explain. I'm coming to something. When Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewithal shall you be clothed? You know, I said before that God doesn't give advice. What does he give? Commands, instructions. You disobey to your own peril. And that's the point I want to make. Those instructions that God gives, they are the best lines of action under those circumstances. If he says, take no thought for the morrow, actually he's sparing you a lot of trouble. I don't know whether you're getting my point. When God says, don't do this, it's because he knows that that is how Satan's enter the hearts of people. Do you get my point? Listen, worry. When I say worry, now let's define the word mammon for a moment. When we use the word mammon, mammon is not covetousness. It's a word of difference. Mammon is, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? I'm trying to say something to you here. As a child of God, there are statements that must never cross your heart. Not even talking about falling down from your mouth. You must never, it's a law, you must never be afraid of tomorrow. You must never be afraid of poverty. You must never be afraid of what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. If you are, listen, this is what happens. The spirit, all right, the prince of the power of the air will send his spirit into your life. You know, I said something last week, I didn't develop it enough. I said people pray against witches. They don't sleep at night because of occultists who are not sleeping. They don't understand that the real spirit that is a problem is their personal friend. They sleep with their friend. You don't know. Now, wow. This country, you know, is using. In fact, I just don't know. I'm just troubled. I don't know what is going to happen. Then, you know, all they are worried silly. Because of worry, Satan pushes something into their life and begins to control them from afar. Let me take this story to give you as an example, because it works with unbelievers, it works with Christians like this. Works with believers. I've used it before, actually, as an illustration. I finished my U7 in 1993, all right? Served in one military barracks somewhere in Taraba State. I met one copper there, not a believer, that is also a doctor, all right? Let me cut the long story short. All the abortions that needed to be done in the barracks then, he did them. We were just two doctors, me and him. I met him, was there before me. I remember one soldier came to my house. We were staying in the sergeant's quarters, so he was just this thing. He said, doc, don't worry. Once this guy goes, he will make money in this place. I said, what do you mean? He said, right now, all the DNC, I need to do him that. Once he goes, I know everybody now. I will arrange them for you. Look at him like, what are you talking about?
I remember one guy saw me one day. He said, Doc, he needs to see me. He was in Soria, was living somewhere in the village. But when he had some contracts around there, he said, I beg go. Issue day. I said, what do you mean issue day? He said, he didn't give one girl belly and her father mustn't know.
So what's the problem?
What do you mean, what's the problem? I should help him now. What do you want to do? Okay, I do antenatal care. There's no problem with that. Doc. I said, come. You know, let me tell you the easiest way to resist temptation. Say it ahead of time. Listen, my friend. You know, I'm a Christian. You know, it's against. Say it in a blunt and very crude way. It's against my religion. If I do it, I may die and go to hell. Just say it like that. Okay, you are my friend. Do you want me to die and go to hell? So what do you mean? Do you want me to die and go to hell? You know, if I do it now, I'll just die and go to hell. And the lake burns with fire and brimstone. And the worm does not die. You see? Believe me, they will leave you alone. It works all the time. It works for me, Sha. It works. So that I told the guy simply, he looked at me. See, what am I saying? That's what I'm saying. Oh, because the other guy left that time. And no, I said, boy, sorry, I don't want to die and go to hell. Bye-bye. Now, I'm bringing out something. That's actually the main story. The main story is about the other fellow. He was a Catholic, devout, I don't know whether it was devout Catholic, but all I know is that this is a principle. One day he and I talked. He said that, do you know that as a house officer, now listen to this. These days, in all honesty, people tell me that the country is getting worse. Believe me, it's a lie. These days, at least in my profession, doctors are 10 times better paid now than they were then. And please, people, when I say something, those who don't, who are too small to understand will tell you that Naira had more value then. Don't say that if you don't know what you are saying. When I started residency, dollar was 70 Naira. How much is it now? 117. And my salary was 5,500 Naira a month. So let's not, that dollar settles it. I'm not joking. I worked in loose. If you want, we can dig up my old pay slips. Go to Afribank. They will dig up my account record. You will see it. House officers earn almost 20 times that now. They don't. Do you know what I mean? And dollar is only 117 naira. There was 17 naira to a dollar. When dollar was about 2 to 4 naira to a dollar, that's when I did house job. And our salary was maybe like 400, 500, 700 naira a month when it's good. You know, that kind of thing. Cut the long story short, it's not now that house officers drive cars. Then we didn't have televisions. We couldn't buy TVs. I'm not talking about we don't have TV. We couldn't buy them. The best things we bought when we had plenty of money, I still remember, we bought shoes and wristwatches. It was a sign that they just paid one arrears. The boy will buy a new shirt. This is if they pay arrears, the guys go and buy the latest Sony equipment. Those days, no, shit, that's it, all right? Now, the reason I'm telling you that, this guy was a year my senior, so you can understand the poverty in which he did house job. Now, he said then, a lot of houses, that's how they, you know, get money, all kinds of unscrupulous practices. One of them, termination of pregnancies, okay? Which you always have enough clients, that will not be a hassle. He said then when he was doing house job, listen, he did not even... Listen to this. Not only did he not do it, he did not, like, he said because he just felt that whether he does it or not, these young girls will go and get it done somewhere. And to save their lives, he will refer them to his colleagues that he knew did it. And those ones will come and say, we saw the customer you sent. Here is your cut of the business. He said he didn't even take the money. That's the amount of conviction he had. The following year, all the conviction had died. And he was gathering money, saving it up hard through this procedure. Why? That's what I'm talking about. One day I heard him talk, we're discussing. He said, the thing I fear most in life is poverty. Do you follow the point I'm making? That's how doors are opened. Get my point. That's how doors are opened. Let me tell you something. I believe in God. I believe in prosperity. I believe in the blessings of God. I believe all those things. But one thing I have said to God in previous times is that if it is trekking, that is necessary to enter eternal life may I not drive a car? Having preached and believed prosperity, I think make the bold to make that statement. And if as a Christian you haven't made such a statement, you know, you are a big target to be shot down with temptation. You should look in front of the mirror and say, God, if pleasing you means I won't have food to eat, may I die of hunger? Interesting thing about God is that you will see food to eat. Don't worry. But he will tempt you with hunger along the line. But it's so important that you don't put any emphasis on God. If you know, that's why it hurts my soul every time people say, you know, when you need something, you give to God. I like to tell people who listen to me again and again, it is a lie. I don't know any other way to explain it. Nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your hand. Fine. But you can never make something leave God's hands because something, and by giving something out of your hand, it doesn't work. You have not. Why? Because you ask not. I understand. I'm not talking about that now. I understand that a man who is not generous and who is not a cheerful giver, are you getting me? Does not have faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But giving to get does not make you a cheerful giver. Do you get the point I'm making? Because it's so important that we are ready to obey God without thinking about the reward, even though he promised a reward. What am I talking about? Satan needs to have a door to enter into the hearts of people. That's why the Bible says we mustn't give room to the devil. And I'm explaining one of the rooms that the devil uses. Fear. What will we eat? What will we drink? Do you know where this country is going? You must wake up in the morning and say, God, I don't know what the future holds, but I know you hold the future. And that my life is in your hands. That my life is hid with Christ in God. That I know that you delight in the prosperity of your servant. So I leave everything to you. Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, blessed are you who have been disgraced in front of your mates because you can really, really walk with God. For those who are still trying to impress people, you have a real hard task ahead. I'm telling you. My mates have done this. It's their personal problem. Ah. I told you the way God has helped me. You know, before I used to use Ogboju. Now I don't even use Ogboju anymore. I have something to say now. Your mates have done this. I will show you. I'll just pick one of the books I have written. Show you the titles at the back. How many of my mates have written this? So what my mate is doing doesn't concern me. Your mates are... No, of course, my mother thinks I'm very odd. She can't change her mind now about it. I've been odd for... I think... The one I'm very sure that my oddity has been pronounced for the whole world to see is since I entered university. Say, my ways are very different. And you know, your mates are building houses. I said, that's their personal problem. Pastor Banky is preaching the gospel and is very busy. If it is house, I will live in every kind of house I desire on this earth. If I decide that I want a Buckingham Palace, let me tell you something about God. Just ask. Ask in faith, and one day you will see a Buckingham Palace built right here in Enugu. And the whole world will come and see that there's another palace in Enugu. Say, who says this? Says Pastor Banky. No, really, if that's what I want. I don't want a Buckingham Palace, so I don't have a problem with that. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But that I will say, my mates, that is their problem. I pursue my own purpose. What I'm trying to say is that these are the things we pursue after that allows the spirit or the prince of the power of the air to inject his spirit into our lives. That young man told me, okay, by the time we never talked about it. We knew. He gathered as much money as he could. You know, when I look back now, all the money he gathered with bloody hands for 1 year. I mean, just a few years after, I think about it. I just think about it. We pay Cosmo FM much more than that regularly. Do you follow what I'm saying? Even calculating value for value. We do. I give my landlord more than that every year to stay in his house. I do. You bloody your hand for 1 year. Now, doing what you believe absolutely is not right.
I told you before, in life, you walk with spirits. Spirits move you. Satan pushes people. And we know, it's written clearly in black and white in the Bible, that it was Satan that pushed Judas. Right or wrong? Satan pushed him. Do you follow my point? But we also know that the Holy Spirit strengthens people. This pastor I was telling you about the other time, Pastor W.D. Favor. He was here last week and yesterday actually. And we're talking, that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. He told me that, he said, Pastor Banky, I wish we had a good distribution network for Christian literature. He said, this book should be a bestseller. He said, the explanation you have given, I have never seen it given like this. He said, I believe it. I've always believed it, but I've never seen it explained like this. That indeed, God strengthens people to obey him. That's what we are explaining. What am I saying? That is when you see people do a lot of evil, it's not them. Oh, God, I wish you would get the point. It's not, you heard one day somebody called a number of men who appeared, were looking from a distance, who probably think they're in the occult or none of that, but big men in Nigeria, but definitely they don't stand for right. They didn't stand for righteousness in any way, and they still don't stand for righteousness. Pointed about three of them out to me and said, these people were fellowship presidents when they were on campus. One of my residents in the hospital, one of my doctors, that they were talking, we gist a lot, about personal things and all of that. He said that then when he was in university, he said there are these girls when they are class, guys know they chase them at all. We know they leave them alone because this one is an SU, na sister, SU. He said, you know what he was saying? He said, it's this hypocrisy that he hates. That when the girl was going to marry, who did she marry? A drug baron. He said, all that Christianity she was doing on campus. The guy just, he's not a believer. You understand my point? He just shook his head and said, arrant nonsense. He said, oh God, now this kind of hypocrisy, me, I not just feel understand. And what am I trying to say? He said, why did the girl do that? Let me tell you, it's doors that we open for Satan. Maybe in her heart. Now, that's why be careful the kind of things you believe and the kind of things you love. Maybe in her heart, she has said, in this life, oh, me, I can't be poor. My father was poor. Do you get my point? There are statements you shouldn't make. No, really. You shouldn't. There are statements you don't make before God. If you desire a thing, go to God and ask for it and be ready to do without it. Now, those who have learned faith one way, we think what I'm preaching is unbelief. Believe me, it is not. I pray that God will open your eyes to see what I am saying. Let me tell you, for example, if my car is old and I think I need a new one, that's how I do. I pray. I don't check how much money I have. I pray. Years before I get the new one, I have already decided, God, this is the kind of car I like. I know what I do to the old one. I service it. You don't get the point. We pray for the new one, then we put new tires on the old one, tune up the engine of the old one, make it very so as to remove our eyes from the new one until the Lord brings it. Is it unbelief? No. I have faith, plenty of it. But I say, God, I'm not. I can't wake up in the morning. I confess, it is coming. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you what I confess. Father, the books are going out in the name of Jesus. The seminars are coming. The word of God is flowing. Don't let me share the testimony yet on the thing that's begun. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, we have to do that. I said, if this thing happens the way it's been presented to me, that will mean that the thing I said we should do within the next 4 or 5 years is being done within the next few months. I said, my God, Father, I thank you. You are the one organizing this. That's when we will confess. As for a motor car, waiting. Let me prophesy to you. You will drive car, a time will come, you say, no, I want to trek. No, let me explain. My younger brother, Deji, that time when he was a child, I was still very young also, but I'm much older than him, all right? One day, then I used to go and pick him up from school. All right, that when we were on break, I was in university then, I was on break at home. So I'll go and pick him from school. And the guy used to look like, this would trek away from school. Can't I trek? Because I will go, do you understand my point? I'll have money. All right, I will take a bus and come back home. One day he said that he begged me that he wanted to trek. I said, you don't understand. It's far. Let's go. So one day, I went to my friend's house. From there, I went to pick him from school. And I forgot to take money that day. So I said, your prayers have been answered. Boy, we are going to drag today. And it's quite a distance, though. Very, quite a distance. And he was very happy. It was a cool day. Small boy, so he was walking. And he was feeling very happy. He walked until he was tired. I want to say, are you tired? He said, yes. And I carried him and put it on my neck. I will now walk the rest of the distance. No, I'm serious. Like my son, Akinlu, he's been begging to be taken to school on an Okada. No, really. The day I told him that, I was just playing with him that, look, I'm going to leave you. You and your mom, you go to school on a bike. I thought it was supposed to be like a threat. The boy was excited, like, oh, God, Daddy, are you serious? I said, no, be your fault. You know, you don't understand. After that, I stopped using that one as a threat because it doesn't work. Because if it is a threat, the guy will gladly, which day are we going to school on the bike? He's looking forward to it. Because he sees inside the car, you drive him to school. And he sees people on bike going to places. And the boy looks like, hey, God, which day will you give me a bike to go to school? You get my point? I'm explaining something that, look, God can bless you to a level and you could hunger for the poverty. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes. And if so, don't worry. It will, one day those things will happen. But to wake up in the morning and use your energy for purpose is what we are talking about. Are you getting what I'm saying? What have I explained so far? I've been explaining that, listen, this is the way it works. That a new generation is what will bring a new life onto the earth. Are you getting my point? And when we're talking about a new generation, you see here, I was warning that believers should be careful that they don't open the door to the devil. Because you open the door like that because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, then the prince of the power of the air sends the spirit of corruption that is prevalent in a nation like ours into your life. That's how it is. Pastor Favor and I were discussing yesterday. He said Christians must learn to redefine success. That success is not the kind of car you drive. It's arrogant nonsense. It's not even the size of your church as a pastor. Because, you know, we're ministers. We're talking to each other. He said those are the things that God taught him. That's how come sometimes some people are preaching. And I would, in my mind, I would say, you are lying. And you know you are lying. Is it that it doesn't bother you that you are lying? No, sometimes I see it. A man is there, he's talking. He's lying. I know he's lying. I think he knows he's lying. Or that what he's preaching is not the truth. And I asked myself, I said, is it that some people are not concerned that what they are doing is wrong? My friend attends a church somewhere in New Haven here. He said his pastor has a rule. One thing he will never do is come to the pulpit and whine people for money. He said he will never do it. He said, the man can have all his faults, but that's one thing the man has sworn he will never do. He said, there was a day he invited somebody to come and preach, to come and whine for money for him. And before the man arrived, God spoke to him through his spirit and told him, simply, my boy, you want to last in this business, be careful. When that man arrived, he looked at the man and said, Ogasa, I'm very sorry for troubling you, but I'm sorry you can't preach. And the church was small, then they wanted to buy maybe a generator or something. Let me cut a long story short. He said, before the end of the year, that's why you just have to be ready to walk with God. Before the end of the year, somebody looks and says, this church, they need a generator. He went and paid 1.5 million naira for a silence generator and gave it to pastors. Take. I think church should use this. No, are you getting the point I'm making? Listen. The reason why people misbehave, I'm bringing out a point. Why people sometimes, they bring themselves under the influence of this prince of the power of the air is because they wrongly define what success is. So when people step into our church, the marble on the floor, they fear God. It's a lie. Good things are good, I know. But that's not ministry. Pastor Phil was telling me that he told one man that I think the guy had, he shared some testimony and all of that, how much money he has spent on this and this in the ministry. He told him, my friend, come here. That is money. It's physical things. He said, what you don't understand is the price of his soul. I don't know whether you get my point. And that is real ministry.
Are you getting my point?
Listen, this is the point I'm trying to make. When we get it right,
do you get my point?
When we get the real definition for success, then the prince of the power of the air cannot put his spirit into your life.
You get my point?
No, that's just the way it is. Listen to me. Success is not the size of the car I drive. It absolutely is not. Let me tell you what a car is. It's a desire of the heart. Do you follow? No, Christians must understand. If you like it, like, you know, you've seen sports cars. I watch it on TV. Sometimes they're describing how they make Ferrari or Lamborghini. I admire it, and God knows I hate it. I don't want to drive on. You know what? Why? I saw these short cars. A big man will just step on your head without knowing that he's stepping on something. I'm just as a joke, you know. No matter the glory around it, it's just not my kind of thing. For me, the higher, the better. The fatter, the more glorious. It's a personal thing. It's not ministry. It's not a sign of God's blessing. It's nothing. It's just a personal desire. If I have the money, I will not buy a sports car. No matter how much it looks fine, I won't buy. I don't like it. So it's not a sign of success to me at all. Material things, that's what I'm saying. It's a matter of personal desire. It's not a matter of success. And if you understand that, you will immune yourself from the influence of the power of the spirit, of the prince of the power of the air. You will. The problem is that Christians they wrongly interpret what it is, especially as ministers. Therefore, you open the door wide and Satan puts a hand inside your soul and starts controlling you. So tell him it is white. So, but it's black now. Tell them it's white. The offering will be higher. The guy will consider yes. Then they will know we are succeeding. You get the point. Now, I'm trying to explain something here. That, you know, we read that Ephesians chapter 2. That what God wants, he said the Lord led him about and there was no foreign God with him. Is that foreign God that says must be absent from the heart of the new generation before his blessing can be poured down? Is what I'm saying making sense to you? Listen, there's something I said. Let me close with it. Now, this is the point I'm making. We read from Revelation chapter 17. He said, those that are with him, they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And I'm saying that we need to build ourselves into the army that God will use to bring forth good upon the earth. And I've been explaining that many of the things, I'm happy that God has helped me to be able to explain to people. One of them is that it is not about you. All right? Another one is for us to redefine what success is. Are you following me? Because when we do that, then we are able to be free from the influence of this evil spirit that's trying to corrupt even the saints of God. And it doesn't corrupt us, you know, like I said, it's not the overt corrupt man that's a problem. It's the friend that's really Satan. Do you understand my point? Who sits down with you and says, oh boy, what did these people say? After all, they are getting results. This thing that you are saying is not right. After all, they are getting results. This, you know, in life, a man must have enough to eat. A man does not provide for his household. He's worse than if he starts rationalizing away things that are the deepest of your convictions. That's real Satan. And I gave an example earlier. I said, that is the beginning of it. Once that Satan puts his hand inside, that person now becomes useless to God. Listen, we discussed that before about walking in divine authority. If you're not here, please listen to the series. Sometimes people will lose things physically. What it is giving them is divine power. Because that's what the Lord Jesus needs. Listen, before God can bless a whole nation like our nation, there's something I wanted to get into, but I didn't get in there today. Talk about the principle of the remnants. All right? God doesn't need everybody. It's the principle of Gideon. You want to deliver the land? I don't need the thousands. Just find me a few who will walk with me in the manner that I like, and they come to about 350. I said, good. This is enough. Go and use this one to deliver the people. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, you know, there was something I said last week, which I didn't conclude. I was talking about agreeing with God, you know, changing our perspective, talking about renewing of the mind. I explained something about capitalism. Can you remember that? I said that so we should, you know, understand the divine order behind what we call capitalism. Incidentally, there was something I referred to some time ago. I didn't even know it was from Ravi Zacharias. I heard it. So today when I was listening to him, he said that thing again. About the difference, he said, he read it somewhere, the difference between it's Poland, yes, thank you. He said, difference between the Polish capitalist and the American capitalist, he read it somewhere. That the Polish capitalist, you say, God, my neighbor has 100 heads of cattle and I have 10. Please kill 90 of his so that will be equal.
So the American will pray that, God, my neighbor has 100 and I have 10. Please give me 90 more so that we'll be equal. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I describe the story of two preachers who one went, two of them were very good ministers and they were both pastoring in the same city, I think in London. So one now left London, I went to Chicago in the US to go and start a church. Shortly after, his friend arrived also in Chicago to start a church. That one, out of desperation, prayed one day and said, God, please, deliver me from this trouble. Please fill that man's church so much that they won't have space again. Then let the rest of the people come to my church. Now, it was only talking about, because you mentioned their names, talking about having a good heart. That's what I'm trying to say. That how a man with a good heart responds, in quote, to competition. That, okay, that man is competing, no problem. God, please bless him so exceedingly so that the leftover will be able to come here and I will not have any hassle. I'm explaining something. So last week, I talked about that capitalism issue. That I was telling something I didn't forget. I didn't complete saying it. I forgot before we ended. That, you see, the idea that the Puritans had was that, okay, let the people prosper, all right, as much as they can. But then they allowed a heavy inheritance tax. That's one I forgot to mention. You know the reason? The idea is that once you have prospered so much, then the responsibility is now upon you to bless the community. That is why till today, most universities are funded by grants and gifts from rich people in those countries. You know, you get there, you find gigantic buildings donated by a rich man. Bill Gates, after amassing all the wealth, now turns around and says, we must give out everything before we die. Warren Buffett, becoming the richest man in the world, took 85% of all the money he had and handed over to Bill Gates Foundation. That since you guys know how to give out money, please go and give out the money. No, really. He said, you guys know how to give out money. Please go and give out the money. That there is an art to giving out money. I haven't learned it. But I have learned how to make money. So now I have made money. I found a man who knows how to give it out. Just take all the money, dash to the man. 85% of his total worth, give it to the man. He's currently the richest man in the world. So you can mind the amount of money we're talking about. Now that's the principle, the spirit in the air there. I told you, it's a matter of spirit in the air. So you move such people. You now find them that they are doing, and I'm bringing out something. Listen, we are getting there. This is our country. Yes. You and I are birthing that generation. Those nations, what they do is that they give you a very heavy inheritance tax so that they try to discourage you from handing money over to the younger generation that may not know how to handle it. Do you understand my point? I like one thing that Bill Gates said. He's not a believer, but this statement is so interesting. He said, does he want to give his children the disadvantage of having so much money? You hear the word? Disadvantage. Paul Getty's son, he had four sons, I think, or four children. The only one that survived said money was a cost to their family. J.P. Getty was at a time the richest man in the world. The boy looked and said money was a cost to our family. The last I read about any one of the kids was in either Newsweek or Time magazine many years ago. He was just coming out of drug rehab and he sold his father's company over to Texaco for $2 billion. It's not small money we're talking about. So some other men look at, one of them said, any man who dies rich died poorly. Do you get the point? That if by the time you are dying, you still have so much money to call your own, then you are dying a poor death. One of them, I read in Time 100 that they issued at the turn of the century, in the year 2000. One man like that's the man who made the statement. He made so much money. By the time he died, he was worth less than $500,000. That in the last few years of his life, he was just giving out money, giving out money, giving out money, giving out money. That no, it must not be heard that I died a multimillionaire. It's not allowed. So that was what the Puritans believed. That this is a principle of capitalism. We allow you gather because you have the ability. God gives to each according to his ability. Then we now expect that of to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, it makes me laugh. Sometimes people come to me, they are raising money, they give me an envelope. I say, which kind of harassment is this? I preach the gospel to you. On top of that, you expect that you still want to do launching. No, that as a rule, if they invite me to launches, I don't go. I think it's unfair. No, that's my principle. It's not fair. Very soon, the Lord is good. I will compile all your names. Once somebody comes and say, launching? Is he launching? Ah, go and call Lubong. He's a launching man.
Yeah, that's good. I'm serious. So that one, he's not the preacher. I'm the preacher. He's a launching man. Come. How much are you trying to raise? 5 million. Don't worry. He alone will give you 2. Tell him I said she'll give you 2 million. Go and meet him. That's just that principle. I hope you're getting my point. I'm explaining something. Once we start rearranging our minds and we start focusing it on divine order, that's what the Bible calls the righteousness of God. You know, we Pentecostals, we have misunderstood the meaning of the word righteousness. Righteousness is not just what you are. It is actually what you do. He said, he that doeth righteously is righteous. Are you getting my point? And faith, as far as God is concerned, is work. He said, what must we do that we might walk the works of God? He said, the work of God is that you believe on him whom the Lord has sent. That is the way you believe. The kind of mindset you have is what dictates how you walk. And that mindset is a mindset of righteousness. So he said, this what is called the righteousness of God. For what purpose am I looking for the things I'm looking for? That's what defines righteousness. I hope you get my point. And listen, there's something I wanted to say, which I've said before, but then we'll develop again next time. And that's the fact that God does not need begging. Isaiah chapter 40. He doesn't like to be begged. You know, the moment you pray, God hears. The next thing he says, prepare. Once your heart is totally united with God's order, then the grace of God automatically flows. Do you follow what I'm saying? You don't, look, listen, let me tell you, oh God, my time is gone, but let me just drop this one with you as I go. Let me tell you the principle behind becoming wealthy in life. One, discover what God is saying, and then mind your business. Did you hear what I said? The other day I was in church, you know, we pray with people in church. A man walked up to me, said I should pray that he's not been having breakthrough and this and this and that and that. I don't know him, so I just want to tell you what he told me. And before you know, you just join hands and pray. This is, I don't do that anymore. I talk to you. For just 2 minutes, we'll chat. What do you do? He says he's a teacher. Secondary school, he said yes. Private or government, he said government. I said fine. So what are you talking about? Material prosperity and all of that. I said, do you do extra lessons, you know, teach students extra and make some more money? He said no, that what he does is that he helps politicians. And that by the time he's through with helping them, they always disappoint him. I said, don't you know that's how human beings are? Human beings always disappoint. Ah, you don't know. So you help politicians? Yes. You expect that they will give him something they never do. That is, you know, maybe look at God, they make you a counselor or this thing, they'll not give you. I said, no, no, no. Ah, if you're a child of God, error, error, error. I told you know what you're supposed to do? I said, listen, this is the word of the Lord to you. I'm adding those words now. But what I told him is this, simple. I said, go back to school. Teach. Make up your mind that these students must not fail. Take your pride from what your students will become. If you're teaching from 5, start asking yourself, how many of them will enter university? SS3 now, all right? I went to from 5, so yes, I forgot. All right, how many of them will enter university? Do you get what I'm saying? I went to give lecture today at Newe. That's why I went to Newe. And as I was coming back, I told myself, what is my joy in this? I sit down with my students, we gist, we chat. It's not the detailed information I give you. You can pick that in textbooks. But by the time I leave, I must have put a spirit. No, what I do is I drop spirits, not just knowledge. I drop a spirit. I drop a spirit of excellence with you. I mean, one day a student gave me a tie and he said that he wants me to know, after I finish teaching them, that he's going to become a pathologist and it's because of me. They told me about one guy that is now a pathologist, a specialist. He's working somewhere in Lagos. And I said, oh, I remember that guy. You know what I remember about him? I was a resident. He was a medical student. Last time I went to the department in Lagos, I saw him a few years ago. And he had graduated, he had finished youth service. He was now doing residency and he was in pathology. And he came to tell me that maybe I've forgotten, but that I'm the reason. I was a resident. He said, I'm the reason why he made up his mind he must become a pathologist. And on Friday, I heard he had even gone abroad and come back and all of that. He now has a job as a lecturer and a consultant in Lagos State University Teaching Hospital. And I heard that this was just yesterday. And I remembered that the guy told me last time we met, Daoga, you were a resident when we were students. And when I saw you, I made up my mind I had to be a pathologist.
Do you get my point? I told the man talking with me, I said, listen, forget politicians. You don't need it. You are pursuing selfishness. I said, you're a teacher. Go back to school and teach. Start counting your success on how many of your students make WAEC. How many of them pass WASC? How many of them make it into the university? Now, I said that last year today. It's not just about giving them knowledge. You can give them encouragement. One day, one of my residents told me something. And one day, no, I came to work. I was looking very sharply dressed, you know. He said, oh, guy, you are looking sharp. I said, now you cosam. What did he do? A few days before, he said to me, he said, oh, guy, I like you. I said, why? He said, when medical students see you, they want to be doctors. They want to graduate. They want to do this job. They know the thing is good. After that, I made up my mind. And he was talking about what I appeared like. After that, I made up my mind. That was just a few weeks ago. I said, ah, no, no, no. From now on, there's no sloppy dressing going to work. There wasn't much of it anyway before, but I became more determined. When I'm going to teach, my wife will ask, where are you going? When she sees me knotting my tie and wearing a fine jacket, I said, I have a lecture. She understands. I said, I have a lecture. When I'm going to give a lecture, I must not only deliver physical stuff, I must inspire somebody. So I told the man, go to school. Inspire your students. Don't go there whining and complaining and grumbling. You discourage them. Really, a lot of people don't know the evil they are doing. You go to school and you discourage students. Our fathers have finished this country. You are teaching. X squared over Y squared is equal to Z squared minus 1 tan T over cos A. They can't understand it. The Bible says, because of you, the earth has withheld its due. The sky has withheld its due. In the same manner, because of you, understanding has left these students. It's a whining and complaining. You see, this country is useless. In fact, I don't know what this our government is doing. Anyway, today we are talking trigonometry. As you are drawing the diagrams, they are seeing confusion. You draw a straight line, they see a wave. It's not their fault. It is you. You have used your mouth to wreck their lives. I told that man, I said, go back to school. Forget politicians. Teach. You need extra money. Teach extra. And then wait. Naturally, the easy way to become wealthy in life. Oh, let me give you 3 points. One, ask God. That's number one. Ask God, whatever it is. Number two, abide in the calling in which he has called you. And number three, put excellence into that calling. Believe me, the day you are supposed to be crowned king, someone will get direction to your house. Do you understand the principle? It's not about struggling to become connected. No, it's not. I really thank God for the little few things I have experienced in recent times. Some people say that you know, people are begging to, okay, yeah, let me contribute somewhere. You want people to give you opportunity to talk. That is now. God knows I've never begged anybody for anything. But every day people are always going, okay, please, can you come and write for our newspaper? Can you come and do this? Can you write for our magazine? I say, I don't have time. That's what I tell people now. People want to launch television networks. And they come. Pastor Banke, I want you to be on that network. No matter what it will cost me, I want you to be there. The rates, as fantastic as possible. Please come on the network as frequently as you can. I'm serious. Do you get my point? I told the man, please, that's how it is. You want to be wealthy in life? Forget this one, networking policy. What are you hoping for, Seth? They make a commissioner. You don't say you're a thief. You're planning to steal. May they continue to disappoint you. That you might find real wealth indeed. I've met a few people. One particular young man I have in mind. I know that when it comes to politics, he will do well. I know he will do well. That's how I saw you in the back. The guy just told me simply that right now he's out. People try to hire, do this and do that. You will get. He said, it's not necessary. Let me finish my law school first. When I finish. He said, now I do things only because I'm persuaded that I'm supposed to do it. The best of a new generation. That's what I'm talking about. They have a different mindset. They have a different way to address issues. They have different things that are important to them. And once God says, we have had enough, a critical mass, this is a sad part. He closes the door for that generation. Any other person that didn't enter before then becomes a struggler the rest of his life. Let us pray.